should read from Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 14. And I'll read to the end of verse 19. Hear the word of God. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that he, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that's a prayer. There's one prayer in Ephesians 1, if you remember, and here is the second prayer. I remember for a long time, I tried to remember a quotation by Charles Simeon, which I knew I'd use somewhere. And I really went through, I don't know how many books, and even other authors, to find this quotation, but I could not. But when we went through this series 2 weeks ago, it was here. And I feel so pleased about that. And this was a prayer, it was very, a statement, it was very short. Well, here I thought it was. Yeah. You can be patient for a while. Here we are. Charles Simeon. The Apostle's Prayer rises at every successive step, till he comes at a height of experience which, if it had not been dictated by inspiration, one should have been ready to condemn as blasphemy. There is indeed in the Deity an essential fullness which is incommunicable to his creatures, but there is also a fullness which he does and will communicate. In him are all the perfections of wisdom and goodness, of justice and mercy, of patience and love, of truth and fruitfulness, and with these he will fill the people according to the measure of his capacity, so that they shall be holy as he is holy, and perfect as their Father which is in heaven is perfect. If any man possess but a small portion of his perfections, and how is this to be obtained? Will repentance effect it? No. Will mortification procure it? No. That which alone will avail for this end is an enlarged discovery of the love of charity. Therefore, the Apostle's prayer for this one in order to have the other. How much do the saints in general live below their privileges? Let no strength but omnipotence content us, no presence but the actual dwelling of Christ in our hearts satisfy us. Nothing short of all the fullness of God. It is a celestial ladder. Some say that this prayer, at the highest peak of all, in the entire glorious range of scripture, truth, and divine revelation. And I could remember, you see, that little phrase, a celestial ladder. And, well, I must say that I thought it was a wonderful description of this prayer, because you'll find now we're on step one, steps like that, to reach the fullness of God. And he says, if this were not in Holy Scripture, it surely would be blasphemy. It is really something quite big. Now, let's consider, if you want the text, it's verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. We're on the bottom rung, or trying to get there. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, considering the apostle's prayer for the church and the Christian people, he reaches great heights. It is a prayer for a person who one day will be in fellowship with God. That one day he's praying for you here, and you are people in his mind as those who will be in fellowship with God, holy and blameless before him in love. Endeavouring to get them away from infancy. It's very interesting that it should be such a strong word as that. And advance to a vast realm ahead of them. The prayer here has two things. He leads us to remarkable spiritual truth and experience. At the same time, he humbles us because there is so much more, especially consider the fullness of God. There is so much more. And after that, so much more, and so much more again to learn about our God and Saviour. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, that is our line for tonight. He prayed this for the Christians. Now, isn't that puzzling? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. But they were already Christian. And Christ did dwell in them, in that sense, in the ordinary believing. For he's praying for those who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in order to be able to cope with this dwelling. We need to be strengthened with might according to the riches of his glory in the inner man. Now, I'll explain as I go along. This inner man, same disposition of the soul, God deals there. He plants the principle of life, that's in our conversion, regeneration. He plants the principle of life there, and this holy life, it is there that he strengthens us, in the inner man, in the place where he regenerates us, in the place where we are born again, in the place where we are quickened, in that secret where is in that place he now strengthens us for something more. Now, may Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, if Christ is ours in our salvation, then what is this? If already we have faith in Christ, what does he mean? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What does he mean? In 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, the petition, that Christ may dwell. Now, what does it mean? This petition is for believers, once they were afar off, and now made nigh by the blood of Christ. In Christ, he is in them. Christ is already present in one sense. You can say, well, I've been to Calvary. I have used the gift of faith, I've used the gift of repentance, and I am a Christian, quite right. I'm in a situation of grace, and I can call God Father. That is correct. Something else here. As well as this, it's referring to a dwelling, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, that's the first rung of the ladder, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Now then, quite an argument can go on here. I can imagine, and this is my thoughts on this now, I can imagine that many people have reached there. They have believed. And they can say, I have received the gift of faith, and I have exercised it, and my sins are forgiven, and I have peace with God. Yes, said Paul. But I want you to climb. I want you to climb this celestial ladder. What is the first rung? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. But now we find in the Laodicean church that they would argue about that. They say, well, it doesn't matter. Perhaps we're a bit lukewarm, but we are Christians. And who wants to claim that ladder? we have no desire at all. We're quite happy to be saved and happy and jolly and the rest of it, and call God Father and enjoy many of the benefits. But that ladder, surely, doesn't that take you too far? Doesn't that make you too religious? Doesn't that make you spiritual? Very few people want to be spiritual. Very few. So there might be, I'm now putting that there would be a discussion. We examine the statement, dwell. It means, the word itself, to live in a house, to settle down, to be at home, a permanent abode. Now then, it is of great intensity. We have now it asking from, I want to put my foot now on that first rung. You want me to live in you? I know you have faith. I wouldn't ask this other than to a Christian. You want to get your feet on the first rung of this incredible celestial ladder? And somebody said, I don't know. I'm quite happy at this stage. I go to chapel and I pray. I pray in church sometimes. And no, do you want to go up? Do you want to climb this ladder? Now, this is where many will turn away and say, we don't want any ladders in our church or in our house. I've got faith. I am saved. I live to the glory of God. And all that can be true. But he's saying, do you want to come nearer me? Let me live with you. Let me dwell in your heart by faith. Now, it's not an easy one, I know. Behold, say in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be, and he will be with me. That kind of relationship where I've come in and we're together and we live together, we dwell together. Now, this is another level altogether now. This kind of dwelling, Galatians 2:20 says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Can you see now another dimension? Listen to that verse again. It's from Galatians. I live, yet not I, this new life I've got. This first, and his first room, there's a lot of them. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He dwells with me now. We're in the same house. He's in my physical body. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I now live a life of faith which is superior, which is higher and more wonderful. That is what he's saying. Not many want to come to the first rung. But if you come to the first, you may be encouraged to go to the second. And they're all difficult and they're all wonderful. A believing, trusting soul. Another way of putting it is this, a known and felt Christ. Now, if any of you have read by Alex, it's produced by Alexander's what is it called too? Modern Notion. I remember Lloyd Jones advising to get your people to read this. Every theological college should make their students read it, and every serious Christian should read it. And it is a remarkable book. And in the church where I was minister, it was a turning point of the history of that church, from just being evangelical to climbing the ladder. Now then, it's that kind of book. And towards the end, I'll warn you, you'll either feel you haven't got there yet or that you've got a long way to go. But it does wake you up spiritually to the heights you can reach when you climb this ladder. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, known and felt presence, a vital reality that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We ask ourselves, have we considered a relationship like this with the Saviour? Then the perfection of his presence in the believer. We learn more of this in the high priestly prayer of our dear Lord. He says these words regarding these who are on this first step now. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them. That's God. I pray for them. We will come, he says, Father and Son now, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Is that lovely? What shall we do, Father? We will come unto him and make our abode with him. It's lifting us above our pettiness and our willfulness and so on. Abiding and settling down. This is something special to the Christian, for which the requires something to be, how can you contain it? Well, Lord, all right, I want this. How can I contain it? I will give your inner man strength. At the moment, you are mine, but your inner man is not yet strengthened until I know that you want to put your foot on that first rung of the ladder, and I will strengthen you in the inner man. Because that's where our great business takes place. That's where you're made regenerate. That's where I made you spiritually alive. So it is there now I want you to have Christ dwelling in you by this added faith. Strengthening, to manifest, to dwell, to abide. We don't want to miss this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, in the very center of your being. The soul, the principles of life. You know, in the soul has five abilities that you're familiar with. Everything is affected here now by this first rung of the ladder. The principle of life is planted in the disposition of the soul that we know. That's the regeneration. It's also called, what we are dealing with now, the inner man. Or we use heart. Now, don't mistake heart now in a kind of sentimental way. Not that. If you might say, oh, that was lovely. It really warmed my heart. That's just ordinary talk you get anyway. This heart is an area called the inner man. And it is there that great transactions take place. The heart of the soul, the disposition, the inner man. Now, this deeply influences the faculties of the soul. Now, you probably are familiar with them. There are five of them. The mind, the memory, the feeling, and the will. So, in the unregenerate man, the mind is unclean. His memory recalls the base. His affections, the same. And his conscience has a sliding scale according to convenience. And his will is all over the place. But when grace enters, it affects these things that are deep in us, what we really are as personalities. He changes the way the mind thinks. He changes the desire for what we remember. He changes also our emotions, what we dwell on there. He changes also our conscience. We become aware of what is right and wrong. And he changes the will. This wandering will. Make me a captive rod, and then I shall be thine. My will is not mine own, until thou hast made it thine. See, we're now in the area of spirituality, which most evangelical churches could not be bothered with, I know. They might like an exposition of this, but just going through it. He manifests himself, the eternal, personal, abiding in you, Christ there, that visits all these faculties and transforms them and sets them in a direction to glory. You become apparently a changed person. Now, when it happens, it is once and for all. He comes to dwell and he won't leave. That's a very wonderful thing. The reality before in Christ, in his merits, in his benefits, this then is Christ in us. There is the element of the mystical, not the wrong kind of mysticism, but there is an element of the mystical. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? He's made this area into a temple where Christ may dwell. It is a holy place. He means in our physical frame. It is an intimacy, very real and vital. It's a living presence of Christ in us. Now, are you there? Or do you want to be on that first rung? And this is only the beginning, coming from the infancy into the first rung of the ladder of this kind of element and this kind of strength of faith. Now, the preparation of the heart for such a residence. How can all this be possible to understand this prayer? People have known this before, and people have known these things, and many have lived without him. Yes, but many have lived with him. Do I want this? Do I want it? Ask yourself now, do I want to be a spiritual person? Am I content on knowledge? Doctrine is very lovely. Very often people are afraid of doctrine. They think doctrine is something, I don't know what. Don't realize that when you say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's doctrine. When you say there is a God, that's doctrine. Doctrine is merely a word for teaching. But now, what is this now? Do I want this? Is it just doctrine? No, no. You're coming into the realm now of climbing towards the fullness of God. Do I want the Lord in this way? Do I want him in the control room? I've always controlled myself. If I've grumbled, I've decided to grumble. I've decided to criticize. Do I want him in the control room? Do I consider well? Do I really? He stands at the door. Shall I remain or shall I ask him in? It is good if you ask him. When he enters, all these lovely faculties are stimulated, and your whole spiritual life is stimulated. This is by faith, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, through faith. What exactly is this? We do not remain inactive. We are active in this. There's a principle involved. I'll give it to you now. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. There is something you'll have to think as well and cooperate. Even in this area, it's not just a kind of a fairy story. You cooperate. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? You're answerable in the day of Christ for every word, thought, and so on. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So now you have a decision to make on some matter or another, and he says, work it out. Work it out. Which way should you go? Which way? But you do know. Yes, I do know, but how can I? Don't worry about that. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It was a simple step. Lord, I can't, but I want. Help me. And he does. There's your picture. But it will and do. God stimulates. Faith is active. He dwells there with us. That's step one. The thing is to be persuaded to lift that little foot onto step one and follow it with the other little foot. Do I really want this? Don't dither. That is, if you want to go on, you'll still be safe. But if you want to go on, that this may be a wonderful thing. In Hebrews 11, verse 13, you'll find this in action now. These all died, speaking of the saints, the Old Testament now, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded, that is, to put the foot on the ladder. They were persuaded of them and embraced them. Not only were they persuaded, but they embraced the desires of God and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth, that now it made them really their home with glory. And they were like strangers on this earth. Persuaded, embraced, and to lay hold of the promises of God. You're able to do this once you venture to stand on that first rung and breathe the reality that our lives are controlled by him. See, persuaded, embrace. Now that's a divine condition. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 16, we have, what fellowship is speaking of you on the first rung now? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he believed? What part hath he that believeth as an infidel? It's the opposite. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you see it there. They've taken the step, and they become like strangers in this world because their city is God itself. Some things, however, must go. Have you got hindrance, or have we got hindrances in our lives? Things that hold us back. Why should I bother? I get tired. We shouldn't push ourselves. You know, when it comes to spiritual things, we can be incredibly reluctant. There are things that must go. Things that we know. Attitudes. Interest, fellowship with the wrong people. Once persuaded and embraced, then all other loves must go in order to embrace what God has for us. We cannot love God and the world. Or it'll be something like this, where a young man and a young lady sit in a marriage service and let us talk about it afterwards. And he says to her, I love you. And she says, well, I love you, but I also love this, that, and the other. But don't you love me? Yes, I do. I even put you first. But only first in a list of many. We don't belong. We don't belong. It must be completely God first. Then pray, then, in order for this to happen, to be made strong in the inner man. We are so weak. to be made strong in a man. Why? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Who have you got living with you there in the inner man? Christ. Oh, so that's a secret? Yes. Is he there all the time? Yes. I'm solidly on the first rung of the ladder, and we live together, and he enables me to live to the glory of God. It is a mystical presence in our frame, in our soul, in control, the sweetness of Christ adorning the soul. That wonderful position is only rung one. But once you stand firmly on that, you want the next and the next. And so it goes on.